Most people know him as the Night Stalker, but Richard Ramirez was much more than that. He was a serial killer who raped, stole, and murdered so many people throughout the 1980s.
But who was Richard Ramirez? Why did he do what he did? And how was he captured? We'll look at all that today on Forensic Files. My name is Gavin Onchando, and today we'll be looking into the case of Richard Ramirez, also known as the Night Stalker. Richard Ramirez was born in Texas in 1960. He would later go on to kill at least 14 people and raped and tortured many more. In fact, to this day, they're still trying to figure out how many more people he actually assaulted. However, if you look at his child life, it was very interesting, and many people think that it had a big factor into why he was the way he was. Richard was born Ricardo Leyva Munoz Ramirez on February 29th, 1960 in El Paso, Texas. His parents were Mexican immigrants, and he was one of five kids they brought along. Ramirez reportedly sustained multiple head injuries at an early age. After he was knocked unconscious by a swing at age five, he began experiencing epileptic fits. As an adolescent, he was heavily influenced by his older cousin Miguel, who had recently returned from fighting in the Vietnam War. Together, the two smoked marijuana as Miguel told Ramirez horror stories about the torture and mutilation he had inflicted on several Vietnamese women. He even corroborated these stories with photographic evidence he had taken. At age 13, Ramirez would witness his cousin murder his own wife. By this point, he decided to drop out of school in the ninth grade. Ramirez was arrested for the first time in 1977 for drug possession. As this progressed, he would move to California and move on to have a cocaine addiction. He also began to be a burglar and cultivating an interest in Satanism. He'd be arrested twice in Los Angeles for auto theft, once in 1981 and again in 1984. By this time, it was noticeable that he had begun to neglect his personal hygiene. The major change in his style would be around 1984. Theft would turn to violence, with Ramirez's first known murder on June 28, 1984. The victim was a 79-year-old woman who was sexually assaulted, stabbed, and killed during a burglary in her own home. What followed was a spree of brutal murders, rapes, robberies, leaving dozens of victims in its wake. He would strike nearly 9 months later, attacking a couple. However, one of them managed to escape. Not satisfied with this assault, he went on to shoot another lady the same evening, spurring a media frenzy that saw Ramirez dubbed the Valley Intruder. 10 days later, on March 27th, Ramirez murdered another couple using an attack style that would soon become his pattern. The husband would be shot first, and then the wife was brutally assaulted and stabbed to death. In this case, Ramirez also gouged out the victim's eyes. A full-scale operation yielded no concrete results, and Ramirez repeatedly attacked over and over and over. Over the next few months, his murder rate escalated, claiming another dozen victims in a frenzy of burglary, assault, and brutal violence, complete every time with a satanic ritual. The LAPD responded by putting together a dedicated task force and even asking the FBI to step in to help out. The relentless media and police pressure made Ramirez have to go to the LA area. He journeyed north from San Francisco, where he took two more victims, Peter and Barbara Pan, on August 17th. His unmistakable pattern, complete with the satanic symbolism, meant that the Valley Intruder moniker was no longer applicable. The press quickly coined a new name, the Night Stalker, as he was most widely known today. Ramirez's actions, however, could not go on forever. On his final night of terror, August 24th, 1985, this would be the night that he put the nail in his own coffin. First, he was spotted outside a Mission Viejo home, where he unwittingly left a footprint, before the witness took note of his car and license plate. Later, after Ramirez raped another woman at her home and shot her fiancé, the victim provided a detailed description of her assailant, who had forced her to swear her love for Satan. By this call, they knew they must be on the right trail, because that was his pattern. Ramirez's abandoned car was found a few days later, complete with enough of a fingerprint to make a match, and his criminal record enabled the police to finally put a name on the Night Stalker. With all the coverage from the national TV and print media featuring his prison photo, along with a series of clues as to where he had been, Ramirez would be captured on August 31st after he was badly beaten by East LA residents while attempting two carjackings. As he would go on, he would be put on death row at San Quentin State Prison. However, he would be diagnosed with cancer. It would take a few years, but he would die in 2013. This case stands out in a very dark tone. Not only was this guy a serial killer, but he did things in a fashion that was very unsettling. He did things for Satan, and he did them with no remorse whatsoever. He never had any sympathy, never any regret, and he just always stood by his work. And he said that death was always a casualty in his line of work. To me, it's very interesting to see that he was brought down by something like his fingerprint. You know, someone who was so evil and did such horrible things was brought down by something as small as his fingerprint. So as the investigations go on today, hopefully the families can find a little bit of peace and they can bring a little bit of clarity as to what truly happened all those years ago.